Chapter 1. Validating Scary. I had just hosted the first Young Women's Empowerment Group, or that's what I called it, in my home. There were 7 young women, ages 19 to 30, sitting in my living room. One I'd worked with for about a year, some I met 5 years ago, a couple of them almost 10 years ago. When I met them, several were cutting themselves, a few punching walls till their knuckles bloodied. There had been at least 10 serious suicide attempts between the 7 of them. A couple had been fairly catatonic. One had beaten her own face so swollen on one side before she came into our second session that I had to send her to the ER immediately. A couple were on a suicidal path with booze. Several had spent serious time inpatient and institutionalized. And I'd put money on every single one of them thinking of taking their own life more than a couple of times. Jesus. As I write this, I think of you, a terrified parent, wanting, well, actually needing help. You need help now. You discovered your kid is cutting. The person you made is actually hurting themselves on purpose. The questions go on and on and on. Why would anyone do that? Why would my kid do that? What is going on with them? What are they not telling me? Do they want to die? First of all, let me just say I get it. This is so scary. There is something so against nature that a human being would want to hurt themselves on purpose. But those young women at my empowerment group are the most emotionally intelligent people I have met, and I've trained with geniuses. But even geniuses with letters after their names don't have the emotional awareness and vocabulary, the ego strength and resilience, the generosity and ability to empathically and actively listen that these few young women have. They don't. These skills can only develop from finding the courage to explore oneself fully, honestly. You can only get this good at expressing your emotions and thoughts and beliefs and dreams from one thing, and these women have it. They like themselves. They have worked their asses off, many of them for years, to learn who they are and accept themselves, flaws and all. They have found themselves on the other side of the tunnel where they genuinely hold themselves in self-respect and self-love. Not the kind on t-shirts sold in yoga studios, the real deal. They have learned to like themselves. They are the kind of people that are in a crowd of black and white and they shine with color. And I have had the privilege of teaching them. I am so happy. And I'm so deeply proud of them all. I'm excited for their future and the impact they can now have on the world, now that they have freed themselves from the ignorance that is required to hate or even dislike yourself. I didn't cure them. I just taught them the skills to effectively manage their emotions so they can find who they really are and what their values are, so they can act according to those values and reinforce their self-esteem and self-confidence. Because that's what I believe. Global healing can be achieved by teaching people how to like themselves. And for me, that starts one kid at a time. That includes your kid. You have felt the terror that comes with learning your kid is cutting. If you came into my office for a first appointment, I would likely introduce myself, offer you tea, follow you into the room, and gesture for you to have a seat on the couch. I'd then sit across from you and likely say, "So what's going on?" You'd probably be nervous, but launch into it anyway. We'd spend the next 20 to 30 minutes with you telling me about how shocked you are to find out your kid is hurting themselves on purpose, and how you feel sad because they used to be so happy and active, and they used to talk to you, but not anymore. You'd say how you feel guilty because you thought their moodiness was just a teenager thing, and you had no idea how serious this was. I probably wouldn't say much. I'm sure I'd be emphatically nodding the whole time you expressed your feelings, probably adding several times, "Totally. Yep. Totally. Super scary. Yeah." And you'd feel comforted and calmer because you'd know I meant it. I'd actively listen, not taking my eyes from you at all while you talked, taking in all of what you were saying. I wouldn't interrupt you. You'd have minutes of a slow and concerned cadence, and then as your worry increased with the details you told me, you'd speed up and get a bit louder. I'd stay out of your way and let you tell me your story until you came to a pause where you probably wouldn't yet ask me out loud, but you'd look at me with the question in your eyes, "So what do you think I should do?" And then we'd get into it. I'd start off, "So this is what I'm thinking." I'd let you know that I get what you're going through. I really do. I have seen that pained look on the faces of many parents and heard it in the voices of many, many more. I would easily and authentically validate your fear, your sadness, your guilt. And I'd let you know how many times I've seen this before and how many times kids have pulled out of it to become healthy and happy young adults and adults. And so it begins. Except what I do is have that same first meeting with your kid. When a kid is cutting, parents and professionals send them to me.